Invite you to open your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning, Matthew chapter 13, a parable from Jesus that is an important parable in the current sermon series we're doing on the mission of the church. So it's critical that we understand our particular era, this time in which we live between the two comings of Jesus. It is a unique time, and our mission requires that we understand the nature of this time. So my children and grandchildren have something in common. And that is, we have on our kitchen table, on the Lazy Susan in the middle, a small globe of the world. And at different ages, depending on their natural level of curiosity, they have all asked, and I'm sure our growing grandchildren will all ask, what is that? And we tell them, well, it's a globe that shows our world. Their next question is always the same. Where are we on this globe? And so we point out, it's very small, we point out Alabama and Birmingham's actually on there. So we point that out to them. And that's exactly what we need to understand today. The big picture, as well as where are we in this big picture? So this is the parable that I think helps us grasp this point. So I'm going to read Matthew 13, beginning in verse 24, and then we'll skip a part and go down to Jesus' interpretation of the parable, beginning in verse 36. Matthew 13, 24, hear now the word of God. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And now skipping down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." May God bless to our hearts this reading of his word. So this drama unfolding in this parable reminds me of an enemy in our day sending a computer virus to harm wherever the virus is sent. In Jesus' parable, it's an agrarian setting, and a powerful landowner has vast holdings, but he has an enemy who hates him. And he comes at night because he lacks the power to confront his enemy during the day. And he does this act of sabotage, sowing weeds among the wheat. And he succeeds. His effort goes undetected for a long time until the crops mature and the weeds with them. And then it becomes evident, because there's no fruit in the weeds, it becomes evident what has been done. And the servants of this man say, "What should we do? Do you want us to go and uproot these weeds so that we can destroy them?" And he says, "No. That would do damage to the wheat. Let it all grow. At harvest time, we're going to be taking it all anyway. Then we will separate the two." And the parable's interpretation is not hard to discern, because Jesus tells us exactly what it is. The good seed, the wheat, are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the devil. The servants are the angels of God. The harvest time is judgment. And at judgment day, the separation will occur. So I want us to look at this parable by considering three questions that arise within the parable itself. And the first question is the one asked by the servants: how can this be? Or as they word it precisely in verse 27, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" This is really a question for our day. How is it in this world that God has created, that He has begun to reign through our Lord Jesus, how is it that evil still exists? Theologically, we call this the problem of evil. And stated simply, it goes like this: God cannot, in light of the presence of evil, He cannot be both good and all-powerful. He can be one or the other, but not both. Perhaps He's good, and He wants evil to be terminated, but He lacks the power to bring about the thing. Or perhaps He has the power, but refuses to end it, therefore He cannot be good. That's the problem of evil. And I believe this parable helps us answer that dilemma. It delivers us from that dilemma. And it says, no, God can be both good and all-powerful, because it introduces a third element into the formula, the element of time. And it says that God will, in fact, end evil, but He will do so at His time. And furthermore, He has a very good reason for delaying His action of ending evil. And the good reason is the protection of the wheat. God's purposes are good. You know, one of the things that comes into clear focus here is the concern on the heart of God. He's like this landowner. And we see here God's concern for the world, just like this master, this landowner, has concern for his field. Why else would his enemy seek to bring harm to his field? Because he knows that the master is concerned for his field. And he targets something that is precious to the master, which is exactly what Satan has done in bringing evil to this world. He brings evil to this world because he wants to destroy the things that God loves, because he hates God. And so we see here the love, the concern God has for his world. But there's something he has an even greater concern for, And that's his wheat, which is identified in the text as the sons of the kingdom, verse 38. God is willing to endure great hurt and pain to himself. He's willing to have a cluttered field, which he hates, which is something that just grates on him and brings suffering to his heart, pain to his heart, but he's willing to endure that for the sake of the wheat. So how is it exactly that that God's people would be harmed by rooting out evil before the day of judgment? Because that's really what this parable is saying. God is saying, I'm not going to rid the world of evil now because it would bring harm to my people. Well, how would that bring harm to God's people? I think it's like this. God is about the business today of turning weeds into wheat. Every one of us started life out as weeds, did we not? We have a sin nature. We have unregenerate natures. We are born with the sin nature of our father Adam. We started out life as weeds. And by the miraculous work of God, weeds can be turned into wheat and are. And we become a new creation in Christ. But what would have happened in your life if God had chosen to root out all the evil when you were still a weed? And before you became a wheat stalk, you would have been burned. And God says here through Jesus' parable, that's the reason I am not ending evil now. It's for the sake of the wheat. So what we're left with here in this parable is clarity about this age in which we live. Now, I'm going to say a word that theologians use that I'm going to need to explain, but I think it's an important phrase for you to understand that describes our age. And here's the phrase: inaugurated eschatology. Okay? So let me explain that. Well, actually, I can explain it by words you sung earlier in the service today. We were singing to God, and we said to him, your reign on earth begun. So inaugurated means begun, right? It's something has begun. Well, what has begun? Well, it's the reign of God. And that's the word eschatology. Eschatology refers to where this is all headed, the end of things. What is the end going to look like? Well, it's going to look like the complete reign of Jesus. All evil will be banished from this world. Death will be ended. Sin will be gone. Peace and joy will reign forever because Jesus will reign forever. That's where this is all headed. That is consummated eschatology. But right now, we are in the era of inaugurated eschatology, or some have referred to this by simpler words, saying that this era is the already not yet era, meaning that the kingdom of God is already here, but it is not yet here. Kind of a paradox there. But that's exactly what the New Testament teaches. And that's exactly what you see in your own life, isn't it? Are you a new creation in Christ? According to the Bible, if you've come to faith in Jesus, you are. And yet, do you still fight sin and succumb to its temptations from time to time? Of course you do. We all do. We are a living embodiment of inaugurated eschatology, of already not yet nature of the kingdom. And that is the era in which we live. So that brings us to our second question. What should we do? That's what the servants ask their master. They said, verse 28, then do you want us to go and gather them, referring to the weeds? You want us to go and uproot them so that we can burn them? Isn't that our instinct with regard to evil? We want it gone. We want to do whatever we can to get rid of it. But God says, no, not yet. And the reason, he says, is that you lack what it takes to rid this world of evil without doing unintentional harm. And Jesus says, in effect, that's my job. I know the right way to do it. I know the right time in which to do it. Your job is not to rid this world of evil. You're to accept the fact that in this interim age, evil will be with us and it will continue to be with us. So that brings up a question, doesn't it? If the acceptance of the inevitable presence of evil in this age is as we have represented it here, does that mean we should stop trying to fight against evil and reverse it? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We're commanded to do good. We're commanded to bring good to people, to fight evil. But we need to be aware that all of our efforts to do so will not be able to bring about the ultimate demise of evil. I think what the Bible says about poverty is a perfect example of this. What does the Bible teach about poverty? Well, it's very clear, actually. It teaches that we are to do all we can to address this problem. We're to be generous. Bible says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Yet, didn't Jesus also say, the poor you have with you always? So, on the one hand, we are to seek to alleviate poverty and all of its negative, devastating effects. On the other hand, we're to recognize that we won't ultimately succeed in that. So again, something of a paradox here. So if we should accept the fact that evil will not be completely removed until Jesus returns, what advance of God's kingdom should we expect in this day? And I think the answer to that is that we should expect that God is going to be at work in us and through us to see weeds become wheat. And what that means, if that's what God is doing in this age, that means that we shouldn't write off anyone, no matter how evil and how much evil we might see in that person. By God's transforming power and his grace, weeds can become wheat. My wife is actually an example of this. She was not a believer in high school, and she was invited to a church youth group, which she began attending. And she says now that she was a bit of a flirt, and she was kind of different than many of the other girls in the youth group. And the result is that many parents wouldn't allow their daughters to be with her. But there was one family that reached out to her. They gave her rides to youth group. They included her in their lives. And eventually, by God's grace, even though at one time she looked like a weed instead of wheat, she became a beautiful grain of wheat by God's power and has borne much fruit in her life. Or let me give another example. I've been reading the biography of Jack Miller, who's the founder of the mission agency Surge, which many of our supported missionaries serve with that agency. And Jack Miller was he was quite the evangelist, lived in Philadelphia for much of his ministry career. And he and his wife would often practice hospitality. They would let people live with them who had all kinds of problems, and they would do so to kind of help them come to faith in Christ. So one such person was a woman named Gwen, and she'd been deeply involved in the occult, in drugs, and she was part of a motorcycle gang when she arrived at their house in 1974. And the darkness grew inside of her during her early weeks living with the Millers, to the point that she began planning to murder her host family, Jack and Rosemarie Miller. Jack's biography continues like this. As the gospel touched her life, however, she was overcome with guilt. Jack was surprised when she blurted out, "I've been planning to kill you and Mrs. Miller." As he recovered from the shock, he told her, "Gwen, before anything else happens, I want you to know I forgive you. I forgive you for planning to murder us." Gwen was now the one who was stunned into silence. Soon she began to weep. "You are the only people who have ever loved me, and I have been wanting to kill you. I am sick." She took the gospel to heart, surrendered to Christ, and experienced a marked change in her life over the following months. So by God's grace, weeds can be turned into wheat. And that's the great work of God in this age. It is the mission that God has given to us. He says to us, "I'm going to take care of all the bad stuff. I'm going to do that on Judgment Day." And our job right now, God tells us, is to concentrate on the good news that transforms weeds into wheat. So that leads to our third and final question. Am I weed or wheat? You see, the parable assures us that on Judgment Day, and this and many other parables and much other of the rest of the teaching of the New Testament says the same thing. On Judgment Day, a great separation will occur. And in this parable, it's the separation of the weeds from the wheat. And we read what Jesus says about the weeds. "Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The wheat, on the other hand, will enjoy quite a different outcome. Verse 43, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." So which group are you a member of? You know, I think our parable provides us with some help in answering that question here. And the difference between the two is fruit bearing. You know, when the weeds are first sown, and when they first germinate and begin to grow, they can look very much like wheat. It's hard to distinguish the two, but it is very clear to distinguish the two when they mature. Is there fruit present or not? If not, it's a weed. If fruit is there, it's for sure a stalk of wheat. And the same is true in our lives. This is the distinction between the two. When God transforms a weed into a wheat, he brings forth fruit. What fruit might we look to help us diagnose this? I think the parable suggests two. There are many others we could talk about, but let me just mention two. The first one is love. When God works to transform the human heart, he brings forth the fruit of love. And I think this helps, it helps me answer the question, well, you know, it's, what should be our stance, our approach to evil in this world today? We clearly, according to the New Testament, we're not to just be passive and say, well, okay, I guess, you know, Jesus will take care of that, therefore I don't need to do anything about it. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. We are to fight evil, and why? Because of the fruit of love that God's Spirit plants in our hearts. So we seek to do good out of love for people. So whatever your main calling is in life, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a businessman, an engineer, janitor, whatever it might be, every day, love is to be evidenced in what you do. And the main motive as you get up in the morning is to ask the question, God, how can I love people today that you bring across my path? How can I seek good for them? And as God's people, we are to labor for that, not only on an individual level, but also on an institutional level. We support institutions, whether it's schools or governments or whatever, as a way of loving people. And we continue doing that not with this idealistic zeal that quickly flames out because we are expecting a utopia. No, we know that the kingdom will not come fully until judgment day. And that gives us perseverance. That keeps us from being discouraged when we see our efforts never achieve fully what we want them to achieve, because Jesus has said they never will, because that's my job, Jesus says. But we continue to be faithful in loving people. And in the process of doing that, we trust that God might lead across our path weeds, who he is in the process of converting to wheat. And we will have the great privilege of partnering with God and seeing him do that grand work. And I think there's one other fruit that we can look to in our lives and should expect to see, and that's trust in God. Trust in God even in the midst of all the junk that happens in life. We know that there is a God who is good and a God who is all powerful and in control of all things. And we know that he understands things we don't understand. And so we can trust him. We can trust him even in areas where we have been the victims of evil in this world. Because God is good. And he says, it's because of the wheat, it's because of the sons and daughters of the kingdom that I'm not ending all evil yet. I will, he says, but not yet. And we trust him. Let me close with one final story, another illustration. of helping weeds to become wheat. And this one also comes from Jack Miller's biography. One day, this is kind of a famous story in Surge circles. One day, Jack and Rosemary were driving. They picked up a hitchhiker. He was a young teenager who was high on drugs. And he rode with them for 30 minutes, and Jack shared the gospel with him while giving him a ride. And this young teenager thought that Jack and Rosemary were high on drugs because they were so peaceful. And he thought, I want some of the drugs that they have. So he called their house repeatedly, trying to find these drugs. And he, for various reasons, he was never able to talk to Jack or Rosemary. And then a few weeks later, Jack had seen this motorcycle gang, and he wanted to go preach the gospel to this motorcycle gang. So he saw a motorcycle gang once in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant. So he just stopped his car. He'd asked people to pray for him. He stopped his car, and he approached them and said, "Hi, I'm Reverend Miller, and I'm looking for the Pagans motorcycle gang. Do you know where I can find them?" Well, he had found them. There they were. So he started to tell them about Jesus, but most of them were high. They interrupted him with jeers and threats and just yelling at him. And one particular young man was especially aggressive toward him and was just screaming at him and raised his arm to strike Jack. And at that moment, another young man intervened and prevented his friend from striking Jack. And so Jack started to engage with this rescuer. And lo and behold, it was the teenager he had given a ride to, the hitchhiker, a few weeks before that. And Jack and this young man began talking to one another. To make a long story short, he became a believer. His name is Bob Heppy. He ended up marrying Jack's daughter. He ended up becoming the field director for Surge in their work in London. He's actually now the field director over whom our own Jeremy Martin serves in London. God indeed can turn a weed into a wheat. And that is the work he is about. Even in all the carnage of 2020 and now continuing into 2021, God is not fretting, saying, "Oh no, what am I going to do now? I've lost control." No, he's very much in control. His kingdom is coming. We are privileged to be part of that. As we engage in this mission that he has given us today, may he give us the grace to pursue that with trust in him, with love for him, love for others, with boldness and courage. Let's pray to him now. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are able to protect the wheat. You're able to bring us to yourself. And you are about that business even now. Oh Lord, would you use each of us toward that end? Would you give us a vision for how you might use us? Maybe it's just praying. Maybe it's just engaging people by asking questions, by getting to know them, by loving them. Lord, would you help us in these things, we pray. Make us to be faithful in our age, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.